The Sabbath. Nothing so distinguished the Jews from surrounding nations and designated them as true worshipers of the Creator as the institution of the Sabbath. Its observance was a continual, visible token of their connection with God and separation from other people. All ordinary labor for a livelihood or for worldly profit was forbidden upon the seventh day. According to the fourth commandment, the Sabbath was dedicated to rest and religious worship. All secular employment was to be suspended, but works of mercy and benevolence were in accordance with the purpose of the Lord. They were not to be limited by time nor place. To relieve the afflicted, to comfort the sorrowing, is a labor of love that does honor to God's holy day. The work of the priests in connection with the sacrificial offerings was increased upon the Sabbath. Yet in their holy work in the service of God, they did not violate the fourth commandment of the Decalogue. As Israel separated from God, the true object of the Sabbath institution became less distinct in their minds. They grew careless of its observance and unmindful of its ordinances. The prophets testified to them of God's displeasure in the violation of His Sabbath. Nehemiah says, "In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals." And Jeremiah commands them, "Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers." But they heeded not the admonitions of the inspired prophets, and departed more and more from the religion of their fathers. At length calamities, persecution, and bondage came upon them in consequence of their disregard of God's requirements. Alarmed at these visitations of divine punishment, they returned to the strict observance of all the outward forms enjoined by the sacred law. Not satisfied with this, they made burdensome additions to those ceremonies. Their pride and bigotry led them to the narrowest interpretation of the requirements of God. As time passed, they gradually hedged themselves in with the traditions and customs of their ancestors, till they regarded them with all the sanctity of the original law. This confidence in themselves and their own regulations, with its attendant prejudice against all other nations, caused them to resist the Spirit of God, and separated them still farther from His favor. Their exactions and restrictions were so wearisome that Jesus declared, "They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders." Their false standard of duty, their superficial tests of piety and godliness, obscured the real and positive requirements of God. Heart service was neglected in the rigid performance of outward ceremonies. The Jews had so perverted the divine commandments by heaping tradition upon tradition that, in the days of Christ, they were ready to accuse Him of breaking the Sabbath because of His acts of mercy upon that day. The grain was ready for the sickle when Jesus and His disciples passed through the cornfields on the Sabbath. The disciples were hungry, for their master had extended His work of teaching and healing to a late hour, and they had been without food for a long time. They accordingly began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat, rubbing them in their hands, in accordance with the law of Moses, which provides that, "When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn." But spies were continually upon the track of Jesus, watching for some occasion to accuse and condemn Him. When they saw this act of the disciples, they immediately complained to Him, saying, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." In this they expressed their own narrow views of the law. But Jesus defended His followers thus, "Have ye never read what David did, when he had need, and was a-hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the shewbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. If excessive hunger excused David for violating even the holiness of the sanctuary and made his act guiltless, how much more excusable was the simple act of the disciples in plucking the grain and eating it upon the Sabbath day? Jesus would teach his disciples and his enemies that the service of God was first of all, and if fatigue and hunger attended the work, it was right to satisfy the wants of humanity, even upon the Sabbath day. That holy institution was not given to interfere with the needs of our being, bringing pain and discomfort instead of blessings. The Sabbath was made for man, to give him rest and peace, and remind him of the work of his Creator, not to be a grievous burden. The work done in the temple upon the Sabbath was in harmony with the law, yet the same labor, if employed in ordinary business, would be a violation of it. The act of plucking and eating the grain to sustain the bodily strength, to be used in the service of God, was right and lawful. Jesus then crowned his argument by declaring himself the Lord of the Sabbath, one above all question and above all law. This infinite judge acquits the disciples from blame, appealing to the very statutes they are accused of violating. But Jesus did not let the matter drop without administering a rebuke to his enemies. He declared that in their blindness they had mistaken the object of the Sabbath. Said he, But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. He then contrasted their many heartless rites with the truthful integrity and tender love that should characterize the true worshipers of God. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Jesus was reared among this people, so marked with bigotry and prejudice, and he therefore knew that in healing upon the Sabbath day, he would be regarded as a transgressor of the law. He was aware that the Pharisees would seize upon such acts with great indignation, and thereby seek to influence the people against him. He knew that they would use these works of mercy as strong arguments to affect the minds of the masses, who had all their lives been bound by the Jewish restrictions and exactions. Nevertheless, he was not prevented by this knowledge from breaking down the senseless wall of superstition that barricaded the Sabbath, and teaching men that charity and benevolence were lawful upon all days. He entered the synagogue and saw there a man who had a withered hand. The Pharisees watched him, eager to see what he would do with regard to this case, whether or not he would heal the man upon the Sabbath day. Their sole object was to find cause for accusation against him. Jesus looked upon the man with the withered hand and commanded him to stand forth. He then asked, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. He justified this work of healing the paralytic as in perfect keeping with the principles of the fourth commandment. But they questioned him, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Jesus made them the clear and forcible answer, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. The spies upon our Savior's words dared not, in the presence of the multitude, answer this question for fear of involving themselves in difficulties. They knew that while they would leave men to suffer and die rather than to violate their traditions by relieving them upon the Lord's day, a brute which had fallen into danger would be at once relieved because of the loss that would accrue to the owner if he was neglected. Thus the dumb animal was exalted above man, made in the image of God. Jesus wished to correct the false teachings of the Jews in regard to the Sabbath, and also to impress his disciples with the fact that deeds of mercy were lawful on that day. In the matter of healing the withered hand, he broke down the custom of the Jews, and left the fourth commandment standing as God had given it to the world. By this act, he exalted the Sabbath, sweeping away the senseless restrictions that encumbered it. His act of mercy did honor to the day, while those who complained of him were, by their many useless rites and ceremonies, themselves dishonoring the Sabbath. There are ministers today who teach that the Son of God broke the Sabbath and justified his disciples in doing the same. They take the same ground as did the caviling Jews, although ostensibly for another purpose, since they hold that Christ abolished the Sabbath. Jesus, in turning upon the Pharisees with the question whether it was lawful to do good upon the Sabbath day or evil, to save life or to kill, confronted them with their own wicked purposes. They were following upon his track to find occasion for falsely accusing him. They were hunting his life with bitter hatred and malice, while he was saving life and bringing happiness to many hearts. Was it better to slay upon the Sabbath, as they were planning to do, than to heal the afflicted as he had done? Was it more righteous to have murder in the heart upon God's holy day than love to all men which finds expression in deeds of charity and mercy?